All right, we're about to try something I've never tried before on Radio Laurier. I am going to try to use as many of these sound clips as humanly possible. It's going to be very tricky. It's going to be very complicated. I didn't think it would be as complicated as I thought. So, let's hope it goes well. Good morning, Golden Hawks. Welcome to the Weather Aware Halloween Power Hour, presented by The Morning Show, Laurier's one and only weather radio talk show. I'm your host with the most, Liam McGuckin. Before we start off, I do just want to let everybody know in advance that today's show will be pretty short, all things considered. It'll only be an hour long. I always promote sports on my shows, Laurier Sports. Always got to support Laurier Sports. But today, I have a little grudge against Laurier Sports. You see, there's an oddly timed hockey game going on at 11 a.m., and once that hockey game starts, unfortunately, I have to go off the air. Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous, and I know it's so sad. But if you want to listen to hockey, stay around, because at 11 a.m., we're going to have some Laurier hockey right here on Radio Laurier. You know, I've always wanted to play with the idea of doing a one-hour show. Been tinkering around with it in my brain. So, if anything, I'm kind of excited and intrigued to see how it goes. So, with that out of the way, all right, whatever. We're just going to go live. We're going live. It's showtime. So, we finally made it to Halloween. I know, it's crazy we made it to Halloween, folks. Honestly, it's one of my favorite times of the year, especially now being at the party school known as Laurier. No, I always love the vibes of late October, and Halloween always has been special to me since I was a kid. So I am more than honored to get the chance of doing a Halloween special for Weather Aware, a power hour at that. It's going to be fully Halloween. When it was a two-hour show originally, before I was notified this was going to be a one-hour show, I was planning on doing, you know, half Halloween, half normal stuff, because there is some important weather news going on this week. I'll mention in the recap. But with this Power Hour format, I get to do a show entirely based around Halloween. Isn't that exciting, guys? I think it is. So, without further ado, let's just jump right into the festivities. With the show forecast, the first hour of the show, I ask a very important question. Do you like scary movies? I'll be discussing your favorite scary movies and how important weather is to them. There's also rumors, you didn't hear this from me, but there are rumors that the campus has been haunted with paranormal activity recently. So I'll be discussing how weather can affect paranormal activity before moving into the weekly forecast, my trademark guaranteed three-day forecast, and the Laurier exclusive news report. Now with spooky vision, or spooky audio, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's spooky today because it's the Halloween special. Ooh. In the second hour of the show, the men's hockey team faces off against TMU in an epic Halloween showdown. Hopefully it doesn't go into overtime like that Jays game on Monday. That was insane. I know I stayed up for all that. I had my days off on Tuesday, so I was able to stay up until, what, 3 a.m.? I think it was 3 a.m., all 18 innings, just for the Dodgers to win. That was an awesome baseball game. I'll just say that out front. That was an awesome baseball game. I have never seen a baseball game go that long before. So, just altogether very fun baseball game to watch. Moving into the recap, there's nothing much to say with the recap. I mean, it's been freezing cold, don't get me wrong. Very cold, but otherwise a fairly normal weather week in Ontario. You know, nothing too crazy to report on. The sun also finally came out to say hello, so, you know, that was appreciated. I think it's appreciated, at least. I think everyone does. Sun provides a little warmth when it's freezing cold outside, so I can't complain about that. But, as I mentioned, it is definitely time to bundle up, because those mornings and nights are harsh. Very crisp mornings, which, you know, I appreciate crisp mornings. I got my coat. I'm dressing appropriately. Personally, I like crisp mornings. And now that we're in late October, moving into November, I think it's around time we got those crisp mornings. It's not abnormal weather anymore. So, little half glass full for you there. I spent the weekend in Mississauga, which was very nice. You know, it's always lovely to go back home and see the family and the dogs. Though I will like to add maybe a little spooky, scary dog story for you. If you might remember last show, I mentioned how over the reading week, my dog killed a rabbit. My 10-year-old dog, Bowie, Boston Terrier, killed a rabbit, right? So I was a little confused by that. But, you know, at least they're two land animals, right? Two land animals. Well, I come home last weekend to the disturbing revelation that Bowie had killed a bird. I'm still very confused about how she killed a bird. And it was on the first day of the World Series that Bowie killed a bird. So I really thought that was a bad omen for the Blue Jays. But it turned out it was a good luck charm for the Blue Jays. That was their best game yet out of the entire World Series. So maybe we needed another bird sacrifice to get that World Series win. We'll have to see. But weather-wise, Mississauga, it was pretty cold. You know, same as Waterloo, nice and sunny, but still cold. So, yeah, like I said, nothing much to report on, but recaps are important anyway. But something I would like to call attention to is Hurricane Melissa. Jamaica was recently hit with a hurricane at full force at Category 5, and the surrounding islands have since been impacted. I will be discussing Hurricane Melissa next week as we return to our regular scheduled programming, but it's a very, very grim situation out there. I saw a death report from Haiti that over 40 people have died from the storm. So, thoughts and prayers going out to the tropics over there. Moving into the forecast accuracy, a very short forecast accuracy, you know, as always, since there's nothing too complex to report on, it was accurate, you know, temperatures, no storms going on or anything of the sorts. So, all in all, pretty good forecast. I will note, though, that it was actually sunnier than I had forecasted last show. So, there's that. It was actually sunnier. I did not expect that, honestly. So, that was very appreciated. It is currently 10:09, 7 degrees, and cloudy, but there's something coming soon in weather in Waterloo, Ontario. You know what that sound means, folks. Welcome to Stormwatch, Laurier's go-to source to stay ahead of the storm. The tropics aren't the only place poised to get a storm, as Southern Ontario is set to deliver its own rain event. Though seemingly it has spared Halloween from getting drowned out, but it is an imminent threat. Well, kind of a threat. We'll get into this. So, first Stormwatch of the season. It's very fitting that it's on the Halloween special. You know, just makes it that much more special. I'll give a very, very brief reintroduction to Stormwatches, you know, just in case we forgot what they are. So, Stormwatches are issued whenever there is an upcoming weather event going on. Today's weather event is an extremely imminent one. So, listen up. I'm going to go over Waterloo first before shifting focus onto the GTA. So, what's on the weather schedule for today? Environment Canada writes this. Rain from a low-pressure system is expected to begin for most of southern Ontario Thursday morning before tapering to showers Friday morning. Total rainfall amounts are expected to be in the 30 to 60 millimeter range. The confidence for intensity of the low is still uncertain at this point, which could change the forecast rainfall amounts. The risk for the aforementioned 30 to 60 millimeters of rain has been forecasted in areas like Toronto, the GTA, Niagara, etc., etc., etc. Pretty much the Golden Horseshoe around Lake Ontario, extending up to central Ontario, you know, near Ottawa. That's where you're looking at that aforementioned risk. Mention how I didn't mention Waterloo. Yes, Waterloo, Kitchener, Cambridge, that whole southwestern Ontario in general escapes this risk, but we are still poised to get a lot of rain. Thankfully, the system isn't ridiculously complicated, you know, as it will arrive roughly at the same time. Roughly. We'll get into that very, very shortly. The system comes in from the southwest, and it's essentially just a massive blob of rain. So I wrote this last night, and I already am seeing that, I'm writing here, the storm should have already arrived by now. It hasn't. In Waterloo, at least. So I have my trusty radar up here. And from what I can see, it looks like the... that's Lake Ontario. It looks like the GTA is already receiving some rain or is about to receive a lot of... Nope, they are. Yeah, so if you're in the GTA right now, you should have already received the storm. Right now, I'm seeing lots of yellow and oranges around Mississauga, Toronto, that kind of area. So the storm should have already started for you, but if you're listening in from Waterloo and Kitchener, I would say, judging by the direction that it is currently heading, I want to say we should receive the storm within the next hour or so. So I'm looking out my window right now. It is very, very dark right now. So I am almost certain that we're going to receive this storm within the next hour or so, judging by radar imagery right here in the studio. The storm's heavier half, which is the first part we're about to receive, and the GTA is receiving right now, should last roughly until 1 p.m., you know, early afternoon, where the system dies down a little tiny bit. You know, it's lighter rain, but still raining, before it picks up again around 4 to 5-ish, so moving into the evening. Prime afternoon should just be kind of lighter rain, but moving into the evening around dinner time, you're looking at that heavier rain coming back. It'll linger all night before dissipating early Friday morning. So this will not be impacting Halloween, thankfully. Waterloo can expect to receive roughly 16 to 20 millimeters of rain by the end of the system, depending on if we receive heavier rain cells or not. Mississauga can expect to receive around 25 to 30 millimeters of rain as of the North American model, but there is a possibility for more depending on if you guys receive more intense bands of rain or not. The main threat to the system is simply the amount of rain we are getting. Rain, heavy at times, is expected currently, and it'll make roads slippery and, you know, just, it won't be fun to drive in. That's pretty much the moral of the story here. If you're in a car It will not be fun to drive in, and it also won't be fun to go out walking in. So if you're going out, you know, just remember, not a huge threat or anything, but it is worth mentioning to you guys just to keep you weather aware. And also make sure to pack an umbrella for any classes you got today or any last-minute Halloween shopping going on. Or if you're just walking outside in general, make sure you pack an umbrella and dress appropriately because it will be a cold one today. But that's for the forecast later on. It is currently 10:15, 7 degrees. Feels like 4, so we have a pretty sharp wind chill going on. And it is cloudy currently, but it will be raining pretty soon. So, again, with the hour format, we're not going to have as many musical breaks going on. I have songs lined up in case I need to, because like I have a lot of content prepared for today, but, you know, I'm only going to play the songs if I need to, because I have 10 pages of notes to go through in 45 minutes, so... Let's get right into it. So, there are many, many ways that people celebrate Halloween, you know, trick-or-treating with friends, going to Halloween parties, going to scare parks and such, but one of the most iconic parts of Halloween is sitting down and watching scary movies. And I'm not talking about these scary movies, you know, the franchise of parody horror films, though... They are also great movies to watch during Halloween. I'm talking about the classics, you know, the icons of horror and the smaller icons of horror. Scary movies and horror movies in general. I'm talking Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason, Ghostface, and all of the other horror movies you can think of. All of them have become icons, and not only Halloween, but pop culture itself. But... there are other icons in horror movies that I want to discuss today. Maybe some that go unseen or unnoticed, maybe uncredited. That's the right word, uncredited. But without them, horror movies can just fall apart. And that would be weather, of course. Think of any one of your favorite horror movies, and there's probably some element of weather that makes them scary. Whether it's the time of day, the fog, the storms, lightning, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you can think of, weather is probably involved in your favorite scary movie. And from what I can gather, not a lot of people mention how important weather is to scary movies. So I'm here on behalf of weather to represent them and make a name for themselves and show just how important weather is to horror movies. So I think a pretty strong area to start is electrical storms. You know, lightning, thunder, and just electrical storms in general are all used as story devices in some Halloween movies, most Halloween movies. You know, Frankenstein even started the whole trend. We all know the story. You know, Dr. Frankenstein creates Frankenstein's monster. A lot of people don't know that, but Frankenstein is actually the doctor. So yeah, Dr. Frankenstein creates Frankenstein's monster, a man made out of different body parts that is freakishly tall and wreaks havoc on the town. But a crucial part of that story is, of course, how Frankenstein was brought to life. It's just a body made of different body parts until all of a sudden, bam! Lightning strikes, and Frankenstein is brought to life with the current and the sheer power and presence of lightning. And with this, and as with the 1931 film getting popular, it became a trope in horror movies. You know, another good example, and a fun one at that, I love Tim Burton, as you will soon learn, is Frankenweenie, a stop-motion film made by Tim Burton that pretty much directly parodies the idea and pushes it to an extreme with dead pets, mutant dead pets. It's just a fun movie. I would definitely recommend it. The stage presence of thunder also brings some scares to the table as a jump scare, especially used in quieter scenes in horror movies. Filmmakers tend to like, using these thunder sounds in order to scare the viewers, as I will discuss later on when I have an example of a horror movie scene. These storms can also be used as an atmospheric piece, you know, creates isolation, creates tension, and it just creates all these cool feelings. It also looks visually really cool. Like, let's be honest here. Heavy rain and thunderstorms and movies, always my forte. Always looks awesome. So yeah, thunderstorms, along with other kinds of storms, can also be used as a plot device. Mainly to get the cast into an isolated set piece. It is shocking how many weather movies tend to use storms as a way to trap the cast together into the main building or main setting of the movie. I think The Shining is a pretty good example I can think of. You know, you have this massive blizzard coming in that ends up trapping the Torrance family, which is the main family, into the hotel in The Shining. This idea can also be seen in almost all of those weird, like, Christmas horror movies. You know, there's one I watched last year about Krampus, and Krampus essentially brings a supernatural blizzard into a town with all these weird elements to it. And, you know, that movie is actually, ironically, a really good example of it. You know, it isolates the family into one centric location, and the weather also helps show off the cast's strengths and weaknesses. More so, you know, how dumb they are, though. It's a horror movie. It's a cheesy, kind of cheesy one at that. I don't know if it's cheesy or not, but more so with horror movies, these things are used to show how dumb the cast are so that they can kill them off one by one. The storm also amplifies, you know, those feelings of isolation and hopelessness by seeing a dark, blurry blizzard outside. It also creates some killer sequences with Krampus almost slithering underneath snow, drag people away and stuff. So there's that. But anywho, these storms in general tend to be very crucial to the stories being told, obviously. You know, like with The Shining, for example. If there's no blizzard in The Shining, the family can just kind of, you know, waltz out of there and Jack can't do his thing. You know, I haven't personally seen The Shining. I just did research on it, what the weather is like. So there's that. I don't know what Jack's thing is exactly, but I just know he can't do his thing with the blizzard without the blizzard. So, it's without a blizzard, the family can just waltz out. So, there's that. And moving on, I'm going to be discussing probably the most iconic elements in horror movies. Fog and the time of day. I mean, come on. You can't really have a horror movie without fog. You know, it might be really annoying to drive in, but at night it is terrifying to be in the fog in pitch black. It just gives you really weird vibes and you're constantly looking behind you. It makes you paranoid. At least it makes me paranoid. I've been out with a few friends walking at night. Fog sets in. You don't know what's around you except for street lights and stuff like that. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. In the movies, you know, it creates that same effect. It's used as an atmospheric piece to make it seem like something is wrong. Visually, the first thing that comes to mind right now is probably Jason Voorhees, you know, Friday the 13th, the slasher movie with the guy in the hockey mask, if you didn't know. I think everyone knows who Jason is, though. So yeah, Jason as Lake in the campgrounds. I've seen imagery, I can picture it right now, you know, the entire campgrounds has this kind of mist or fog setting in as the night is young, and as it goes on, it sets in a sense of tension and fear, because, you know, something is going to pop out of you from the fog, but the question is just, what is going to come out of that fog, and when? Well, it's Jason. Jason's going to pop out of the fog. He likes to come out of his lake from the fog and scare you. Fog can also help with making the characters themselves scary, you know, seeing a fuzzy silhouette in the distance but not being able to make out what it is fully is especially terrifying. It also helps throw off the viewer. I know a lot of the time these movies like to do fake outs from the fog. They have this really scary looking silhouette, and as the main character approaches, it's like a very unthreatening child or something like that. That just, like, from the shadows looks like something scary. So it creates that trope as well. Time of day also plays a huge, huge role in these movies because almost every single iconic moment in horror happens at night. Nighttime has become such an icon for horror movies and horror storytelling in general because you can just hide so much in the background and just blend stuff into the depths of the night. You know, if it was daytime, almost all of these movies simply just fall flat. So, we're going to put this all together now. How does weather conjure a solid horror scare? Let's break one down, one that uses, you know, most of these elements. And for any comms majors out there that have been in Dr. Ironstone's class, surprisingly interesting class, I'll add that, we're about to do a commutation test with horror movies. So for this, I'm going to take part of the intro to Halloween. It's the part right after the intro with Kid Michael Myers, you know, when the two people are driving to a mental hospital. So let's just paint the picture here. It's a dark and stormy night. Dr. Loomis and Nurse Chambers are driving to pick up Michael Myers. As they arrive, eerily in the shadows, you start to make out, what is that, people? It's mental patients. They are all, you know, they're just wandering out in the rain, weirdly. Why are they wandering out in the rain? It's a really bad storm. Who's to say? As Dr. Loomis exits to the front gate, great, and a figure jumps onto the car, Nurse Chambers opens her window to try and see what it is. You can vaguely make out the shape of a hand before it comes through the window and tries to grab Nurse Chambers. Climbs to the other side and smashes the other window before successfully stealing the car and getting away. Of course, this was Michael Myers. And small note here, this is just something I noticed. Definitely, if you're going to watch Halloween this weekend, definitely look at this. You can see what looks like a horseshoe on the hand when he smashes the window in on, if you're looking at it from the driver's side, the right side of the car. When he smashes the second window in, you can see on his hand he has a horseshoe to break the window. I just found that funny. I wanted to note that, you know. As I've mentioned previously in the shows, I love those kind of practical effects. And it's just that charm. I miss that charm. I really do. I miss that charm that movies used to have. So, let's just analyze this scene. You know, how important is weather? You know, so obviously you have the storm itself. In the scene, it functions as not only an atmospheric piece to amp up the fear factor, but it also serves as a piece to scare viewers with these intense and loud thunder sounds. This is what I was mentioning at the start of this segment. If you watch that part of Halloween, you have these loud claps of thunder going on in the background, trying to scare the viewer, because they're on edge. It's dark, stormy night, already on edge. Thunder sounds are just going to scare you. The time of day also acts as an atmospheric piece, but more so as an artistic way of hiding things in the shadows, with that slow reveal of the mental patients making it especially unsettling. And the mental patients simply just don't work in the daytime. They take away the storm as well, and it just looks normal. It just looks like they're out on their recess or whatever it is that they let mental patients out on the field to do. I'm assuming it's some kind of recess. I don't know much about mental patients, thankfully. So, can only assume it's recess. So, everything here makes things creepy, you know, with the mental patients randomly out in the rain in the dark of the night, slowly with those car headlights revealing them. So eerie, so scary. But there's another C word here that works. Chaotic. Michael Myers breaking into the car is scary, but the fact you have this whole storm going on, you know, intense rain with thunder and lightning, it also enhances the scare. People watching just simply get overwhelmed with what's going on, and that unintentionally lowers their guard to be scared more. Taking away all the weather from the scene turns it from a terrifying encounter from Michael Myers and weird mental patients in the rain into just a normal carjacking outside of a mental hospital. Pretty much a normal day in Toronto, let's be honest. But the weather is just one element. Obviously, it's not the only element. You have music, you have acting, all that stuff. But the weather is a pretty big one, pretty big element that makes this scene scary. And without it, it's just not that terrifying. I'm sorry. It's just not that terrifying. As I mentioned, it's just a daylight carjacking at a mental hospital. But with that being said, I will also add that the absence of weather can also be unsettling. In a movie like this one that likes to use time of day and storms, you know, seeing Michael Myers, storms and just weather elements in general, getting to see Michael Myers break conventional horror ideas by just standing and staring menacingly in broad daylight can be equally as unsettling as the presence of weather can be. So, yeah, that's how big of a role weather can play in scary movies. If you do the whole Halloween thing, which I hope you do, you know, I don't know why you'd be listening if you didn't. It's a Halloween special. When you're watching scary movies this week and into the Halloween weekend, make sure to look out for the weather in them and maybe think of how the scene changes without the weather present. Because a lot of the time, these scenes can turn from a scary scene into a honestly kind of funny thing. Kind of funny scene, all things considered. Turning a scary scene into a carjacking without the weather. I mean, that's kind of funny. Let's be honest here. You know, personally, when I'm watching a bunch of horror movies this week, which I will be, I have a fantastic list of recommendations from a very reliable horror movie source. And I'm excited to watch them all. And when I watch them, if they have any weather in them, like time of day and storms, I'm definitely going to look out for them. And I'll see how weather changes these movies. Because I think it's interesting to analyze that kind of stuff. So, before ending off this segment, moving into the next one, I've gotten some really good recommendations for Halloween movies, scary movies, but now it's time I recommend some of my personal favorites if you want to check them out. Spoiler alert, it's a lot of Tim Burton. So first off, I'll pretense this by saying, before this Halloween weekend and really just this year in general, I had never actually really seen a horror movie. Halloween movies I liked were more so about the vibes of Halloween. So a lot of this list is going to be Halloween vibe movies, not scary movies per se, but I do have a few now. I do have a few I can recommend. So first off, either of the Beetlejuices, you know, I mean, you can't go wrong with Michael Keaton. Come on, you know, you got fantastic practical effects, great music, great acting, great vibes. It's just a very fun movie. Both of them are. I'm still very shocked that the second one was able to nail the vibes of the first one. Very impressed with that. Coraline is another good one I like to watch. You know, it's shocking how much kids' movies used to get away with. The Other Mother is just terrifying. The Nightmare Before Christmas is my personal favorite. I have very, very fond memories of it from when I was a kid, you know. And I know, it's also a Christmas movie, but that's why it's so good. You can watch it two times every year under completely different contexts. I will also once again promote Weapons. It's a fantastic horror movie if you're looking for a more scary Halloween movie. And one last one that I have seen so far is Scream. You know, the original Scream. I've heard the rest of them are kind of hit or miss, but I can definitely say with full confidence that the original Scream is fantastic. They hide the mystery in plain sight on who Ghostface is. You know, it's very cleverly done. Just overall a fantastic movie. And ironically enough, this morning they actually released a trailer for Scream 7. Looks pretty interesting. They got Sydney back. I also heard they're getting a lot of the original actors from the original movie back, which once you watch the movie, I'm not going to say who it is, but once you watch the movie and research about who's coming back in Scream 7, it makes no sense at all. Up next on my watch list is The Long Walk, along with a lot of others. So I will come back next week to briefly discuss whether or not I think it's worth watching. And possibly I might also recommend the other movies I got on my watch list. So stay tuned for that. It is currently 10:35, 7 degrees. Keeping up with that wind chill at a crisp feeling like 4 degrees. And cloudy, but that rain system is moving in shortly. I'm seeing it inching closer on my radar in Waterloo, Ontario. You know, they say that every October, the campus becomes haunted by the spirit of Wilfrid Laurier himself.
Ooh.
And on Halloween night, the statue in the middle of the campus sitting on the bench finally gets off the bench to scare the worst performing student in the school.
Ooh.
And every time I walk by that statue, man, do I get the heebie-jeebies. But this did get me thinking about how weather can relate with the paranormal. Weather itself is a very mysterious force at times, so it only makes sense that it can seemingly affect the paranormal. I've had this idea ever since my first show, all the way back in 2024. I got a very lovely list of ideas, and weather affecting the paranormal was on there. So finally, after over a year, let's break it down and do some ghost busting. Does weather affect the paranormal? And how? I got a couple theories to discuss. The idea that spirits affect the weather shows up in many different ways in different cultures, but they all have some things in common. In Nordic folklore, the Draugr, which are undead monsters, were thought to be able to control mist and storms. They used these weather events to confuse visitors or disguise their evil actions. Japanese tradition says that the yurei, the ghost of someone who died a violent death and cannot rest due to violent feelings in Japanese folklore, like, you know, revenge or just unrestful feelings, the yurei might call down rain during dry spells if they were properly appeased with ceremonial sacrifices. Tribes of Native Americans, including the Navajo, tell legends about Chindi, the angry spirits of the dead. These spirits might bring destructive winds or stop rain from falling as punishment for disrespecting the dead or sacred customs. Chinese ancestors held elaborate ceremonies to ask deceased family members for good weather, especially during planting and harvest seasons when the success of their crops depended on it. Folklore about ghosts controlling the weather generally comes from coastal areas because people's livelihoods depend on the sea and its predictable characteristics. In Cornish and Breton folklore, the spirits of sailors who had drowned were thought to warn of storms by whistling eerily or appearing as weird lights above the water. Icelandic stories say that the Fjallulatli, the Fjallulatli, of the spirits of people who died at sea. Didn't know that would rhyme. Yay me. They could either protect fishing boats by calming the waters or put them in danger by making storms stronger. Their fate depended on how they were treated in life and if they had a decent funeral. Caribbean island cultures believe that the spirits of people who died in hurricanes become part of the storms themselves. The ghosts could change the paths of future hurricanes depending on how communities follow certain taboos. Remember those who died. It is also said that thunderstorms can cause an increase in paranormal activity. See, thunderstorms stir energy in the atmosphere, and according to those who research paranormal activity, they may just stir the ghostly manifestations of those long dead. And they might have the evidence to back it up. Mark Keyes and his posse formed the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, or the PAA, the PPA for short. And according to him, there is an increase in activity during thunderstorms. Spectral apparitions and shadows are often seen by people who claim their houses are haunted. In other cases, reports of lights flickering and electronic equipment turning on and off on its own, even when unplugged, is common. Other people report more physical activities, such as doors opening or closing, lights or TVs turning off by themselves. Believe it or not, they've had a lot of reports of stereos, radios, and that sort of thing turning on by themselves when they're not even plugged in. Some believe that apparitions or spirits need some source of energy to manifest their presence into the physical plane in order to communicate with the living. This could include drawing energy from electrical circuits and even batteries. And if a spirit is trying to manifest, become physically visible, it will pull energy out of the environment to do that. Our boy Mark Keyes also says that temperature drops, specifically cold spots, are a sign of ghostly activity as well. The Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, that is nice to say, by the way, so those team members use multiple pieces of equipment to take measurements at the locations where they work. This includes measuring temperature and the use of thermal imaging cameras to conduct their investigations. For temperatures, thermometers are employed along with thermal imaging equipment that gives the investigators an opportunity to detect differences in heat. That's something that they can use to check for maybe, you know, cold spots or hot spots on objects. Keyes also says that it is not something that will take ambient air temperatures into account. But if they have a client that reports that someone sits in a rocking chair and they'll actually see the chair moving and they experience that, Mark and his team can use thermal imaging cameras to see if there's a heat difference in the image of a person sitting in a chair. In general, when the team arrives at a location, they use their thermal imaging cameras as well as several variations of thermometers to assess a room, record the average temperature, and then use that to search for any changes. Generally, we'll do a baseline sweep of a room, get that average temperature, but we're looking for extreme cold areas, you know, something that we can noticeably feel in the room, says Mark Keyes. Mark has a very interesting theory to explain this. They believe that dimensional gateways of the manifestation of spirits causes differences in air pressure. If a spirit coming from a different dimension, or quite often psychic mediums will talk about a different plane of existence, or a different level if you think of it in frequency, a different frequency, but where they're coming from may have a different air pressure than we do, Keyes said. A different frequency, which when you get a difference in air pressure, it may cause a temperature disruption where we're at, and you might get a cold spot. So essentially, what our boy Mark Keyes is saying is that these ghosts are coming from a different dimension, and once these ghosts come from a different dimension, they change the air pressure, and that causes these temperature disruptions. So, there's a very good amount of evidence supporting weather affecting the paranormal, but where does this whole connection come from? Well, the connection between ghosts and weather goes beyond simple cause and effect correlations to include complicated and paranormal hypotheses about how this impact might work. Some paranormal researchers suggest that ghosts are concentrations of electromagnetic energy that could interact with meteorological conditions in ways similar to how lightning occurs during electrical storms. Some propose that consciousness may endure post-mortem as a type of energy capable of influencing physical systems via quantum interactions that current scientific equipment cannot really reliably detect. Psychical research from the late 19th and early 20th centuries recorded numerous instances of purported poltergeist activity coinciding with anomalous localized meteorological phenomena, such as abrupt temperature declines, inexplicable fog formation, and localized precipitation confined to individual properties. Events that researchers asserted surpassed more mere chance correlation, but some people are also very against the idea. Meteorologists say that weather systems work based on well-known physical laws that don't need any supernatural explanation. Cognitive psychologists observe that observed that thoughts associating deceased loved ones with meteorological occurrences frequently amplify during periods of bereavement, offering emotional solace through a perceived ongoing connection with the deceased. Anthropologists note that weather ghost stories often come from places where extreme weather makes living hard. These stories are cultural adaptations that promote careful behavior and group preparation for environmental risks. Skeptics contend that the enduring nature of these beliefs, in spite of scientific progress, signifies our unease with the chaotic and impersonal characteristics of weather systems rather than substantiating proof of genuine spectral interference. So, there's a lot of solid arguments on both sides of this idea that weather affects the paranormal. But how about an expert's opinion? My opinion. You know, my family back in Mississauga knows a good thing or two about the paranormal, so you could say it runs in the family. Not to brag, but I'm also very good at Luigi's Mansion, so I can absolutely be trusted with a paranormal opinion. So, as much as I like science, there are things I cannot explain with weather sometimes, and I do definitely think there's some kind of paranormal influence going on sometimes. Yes, a lot of weather is easily explained, but there are just some things that can only be explained by things other than science. And personally, I just think it's fun to believe it's a paranormal influence. Also, given the paranormal science, if that's a thing, behind it all, it would theoretically make sense for temperatures to drop rapidly if ghosts draw energy from heat, like a hurricane. So, in general, you know, I like to believe the paranormal. It would make sense there are spirits out there unable to fully rest and that they just roam the earth. You know, it's a very interesting idea to me, and the fact that they could possibly influence the weather is especially interesting to me. But I only got one question. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who do you call? Ghostbusters or meteorologists? Who's to say? It is currently 10:47, 7 degrees, feeling like 4, and some light rain moving in Waterloo, Ontario. All right. Hockey game goes on in 13 minutes. Are we going to make it? Let's find out, guys. So, nothing is 100% with the future forecast, hence why I'm only giving a basic overview, especially for the latter of these days, it is subject to and is likely going to change. Overall, you're looking at mostly the same stuff we've been seeing for the last few weeks, but as we move into November, and yes, I know it's crazy, we're already in November, it'll obviously get a little colder. Sunday, November 2nd, you're looking at a high of 8, low of 2, and partly cloudy. Monday, November 3rd, you're looking at a high of 11, low of 3, a chance of rain, but otherwise partly cloudy. Tuesday, November 4th, you're looking at a high of 12, a low of 0, and mostly sunny. On Wednesday, November 5th, you're looking at a high of 8, a low of 0, and partly cloudy. And on Thursday, November 6th, a week from now, you're looking at a high of 7, a low of minus 2, and partly cloudy. Moving into my trademarked Liam's Locked In forecast for the weekend. Pretty interesting one. Today, Thursday, you're looking at a high of 6, low of 3, and it'll be raining all day, baby. This morning at 8 a.m., it was 5 degrees, it felt like 2 degrees, and it was cloudy. As we move into the afternoon, that rain really picks up while still keeping that sharp wind chill of roughly 2 to 4 degrees. The rain continues all throughout the day with that wind chill of 2 still holding strong by 5 p.m. and by 10 p.m. it'll be 4 degrees, feels like 0, and it'll be still raining. Tomorrow morning, and tomorrow in general, you're looking at a high of 7, a low of 1, a chance of rain, but otherwise cloudy. And this is your official Halloween forecast, so listen up, folks. Is it scary? Let's find out. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., it'll be 5 degrees, feels like 0, a small risk of rain, but otherwise cloudy. Moving into the afternoon, it gets a bit warmer, 7 degrees, but that sharp wind chill is still present as it feels like 2. It'll be cloudy. That wind chill stays throughout the day as well as the clouds. Moving into the evening, it will only get colder as by 10 p.m. it'll be 4 degrees, feels like zero, and cloudy. Might be a good idea to bring some coats and umbrellas. No umbrellas. Just some coats. Might be a good idea to bring some coats with your costumes. On Saturday, looking at a high of 7, a low of 0, and cloudy. At 8 a.m., overall, you're looking at a cold, cloudy, and depressing November day to start out the month. Starting out at 8 a.m., it'll be 2, feels like minus 1, and cloudy. Things start to warm up moving into the afternoon, as by 12 p.m., it'll be 6 degrees, feels like 3, and cloudy. By 5 p.m. in the evening, it gets a little warmer, 7 degrees, feels like 4, but those clouds will linger for the rest of the night. By 10 p.m., it'll be 2 degrees, feels like 1, and cloudy. So thankfully, that sharp wind chill declines a bit as we move into the weekend. So overall, it'll be a cold, cloudy, and a little wet week over the next week or so. So definitely make sure to bundle up if you're going out on Halloween night and stay posted to local weather services in case it does rain a bit more than expected on Halloween. We are expected to get a risk of showers early morning, but nothing is expected at night. Moving into a quick overview for my lovely, lovely Mississauga listeners. Mississauga fans can expect the same stuff as Waterloo, but it will also be continuing the recent trend of Mississauga being weirdly warmer than Waterloo. Expect rain today and highs of 9 degrees and lows lingering between 6 and 3 degrees within the next 3 days. Tomorrow, Halloween, you can expect a risk of rain, but it should be gone by the time trick-or-treaters come out. It'll still be pretty cold, though, so if you're going out, make sure you also bundle up. Moving into the Loria exclusive news segment, now presented with spooky audio. Tonight from 3 to 7 p.m., find your way to the Hawk's Nest to participate in a spooky escape room. Each team gets 1 hour. Sign up as first come, first serve. Sign up for a chance to win a $50 Amazon gift card. And in what might possibly be the scariest thing imaginable, a talent show approaches. Oh my gosh. You're going to give me a heart attack. A talent show. What? Yes. On November 11th from 7 to 9 p.m., a talent show approaches and takes place. It is presented by the Hawk Walk. It's at Wilf's, so you'll be right on stage. Register at the link in bio of Campus Life Waterloo, if you dare. It seems like it'll mostly be singing related since it's a bar, but who knows? Maybe magic could also be cool. Who's to say? Now time for sports, the one constant in all these new segments. On Halloween, a women's basketball team faces off against Waterloo in the Athletic Complex Gym at 6 p.m., the men's basketball team in faces off against Waterloo as well at the Athletic Complex Gym at 8 p.m. On Saturday, November 1st, our Golden Hawks football team faces off against those dastardly people over in Guelph at the Knight Newborough Field at University Stadium at 1 p.m. There's also a men's hockey game taking a fight against York at the Waterloo Memorial Recreation Complex in Waterloo at 7 p.m. Get your tickets for all those and more at laurier.universitytickets.com. There's also a hockey game happening in about 5 minutes. 6 minutes. Oh, no. All right, we got this. So, stay tuned if you want to listen to that. Let's just hope it doesn't last as long as that Jays game did on Monday night. And speaking of the Jays and non-sports-related news of the Jays face-off against the Dodgers tomorrow night, not tonight. I don't know why I wrote tonight. Tomorrow night at the Dome in Toronto. They've win to... No, why did I say tonight? They win tomorrow night on Halloween. The streets are going to be wild. And if you're looking for a fun and free way to watch the game with the fellow Jays fans, head on over to the Bird's Nest at Nathan Phillips Square outside of Toronto City Hall to see some big moments on the stage. I've seen the workings behind the scenes. It's pretty cool. They got a big moment button. So you're probably going to see a lot of that big moment button happening on Halloween night, if they win. And if not, on Saturday night, if they win. It's seeming like they will win. But because without Shohei Ohtani, I'm just saying, the Dodgers are kind of falling apart without Shohei Ohtani. I'll just say that. So yeah, head on over to Nathan's Phillips Square at the Bird's Nest to have some fun, and you'll be right in the middle of the celebration and all the partying. And before I end off the Halloween special, I just want to wish everyone a very scary and safe Halloween. Whether it's watching movies, partying with friends, or going trick-or-treating, make sure you're safe, but more importantly, have fun. Halloween is one of two huge times to be alive at Laurier, so make sure to party tomorrow and carry the festivities into the Halloween weekend. And with that, that was the Episode 5, Season 2 of Weather Aware, presented by The Morning Show, Laurier's one and only weather radio talk show. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to catch the semester two, not semester, make sure to catch the show next week for your weekly forecast and more. Don't forget to follow the official WeatherAware Instagram page at WeatherAwareLiam. Hope you have a great day, Golden Hawks, and remember, stay weather aware. Closing out this Halloween Power Hour, you didn't think I'd forget about this iconic Halloween song, did ya? What can I say? No mere mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller. It's an iconic song. Come on. Gonna send us off into hockey and Halloween with Thriller by Michael Jackson on Radio. That was Thriller by Michael Jackson. We are currently awaiting the sports broadcast to start up. It's currently silent. You know, I was expecting it to start at 11 a.m., but I guess not. So let's talk Halloween. Hope everyone has their costumes figured out. I know I got my costume figured out. I'll be going out as Venom from the first Sony movie, Venom. I have a cool little puppet made for Venom. You know, I have a gray, I have the outfit for Eddie Brock, you know, gray sweater, I got the jeans, all that stuff. But I spent a week building a Venom costume. It's a pretty cool costume, I'll say that. It's a pretty cool costume. I tried getting the mouth to open and close like a proper puppet, but it never worked out. So, unfortunately, yeah, it never really worked out. All right, so we got a vamp for the next couple of while. I have no more content prepared, and I can't go on a music break because this sports broadcast could start any second. So let's talk Blue Jays, right? So the Dodgers are a pretty crappy team right now. Yeah, I mean, they had that one good game, you know, where they went on for like 6 hours and 18 innings. 18 innings as well. Like, come on, they tied it for a whole second game. Where everyone else was tired. Everyone used up all their pitchers and batters and all that stuff. And it was, personally, I think it was a fluke. I think if the Jays were more energized. Oh, it's okay. It's starting, guys. Remember to stay safe and stay weather aware.